So welcome back to the Roadmap to Wealth podcast. My name is Carlos McWhorter, CPA, and I admit I have been out of it for as far as a podcast for a long time. I have been making content, doing the stock analysis videos, but I kind of fell back from the podcast because I started it because I didn't want to just sit and think about doing a podcast without doing one. But I admit I didn't have the clearest direction when it came to the podcast. So I kind of fell back, focused on the stock analysis videos, which I will continue to do, of course. Going to start rolling some more of those out as well. But I am bringing the podcast back, and my goal is to keep it going at least once a week. But we'll see how that goes. Of course, we understand family and career and other things can keep this content creation, aka a second job, make it kind of tough to be consistent with it. But I am committed to doing it and have a lot of fun doing it as well. So thank you for joining me. And I hope to have a great conversation today. So today we're going to talk about the Target boycott. Now, I have questions about this boycott and I had some doubts initially, but here's my disclaimer. I'm not against a boycott. I believe in Black unity. I believe that this is something that a lot of Black people are behind, and I will admit it is more effective so far than I thought it would be. And I also admit Black people are sticking with it a whole lot longer than I thought they would. I just didn't see us as committed to a boycott, say, as we were back in the civil rights movement. But it looks like this is an ongoing thing and will continue, I guess, until we get what we want. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. So for those that don't understand what's going on with Target. So Target pledged about $2 billion to Black-owned businesses, and they pledged to spend this money with Black-owned businesses by the end of 2025. Now, this happened after George Floyd. After he was murdered, of course, remember the uproar that many people had, and many companies began DEI initiatives after George Floyd. Some of these companies did have diversity initiatives before, but when George Floyd happened, a lot of people had what I believe was a lot of knee-jerk emotional reactions, and businesses don't operate like that. I didn't really have faith in a lot of these DEI promotions, but was getting more into Target's pledge and why a lot of people are upset that they reneged on these promises. So, number one, $2 billion to spend with Black communities, Black-owned businesses, by the end of 2025. They were going to increase its Black workforce by 20% and establish a racial equity action and change committee. REACH was the acronym, to advance racial equity within the company and beyond. And recently they cut all of these initiatives, sparking a boycott. So this boycott or this initiative was shut down very abruptly, and it led to a lot of these Black businesses, these suppliers to Target, left holding a lot of inventory in a not favorable financial position because Target was going out and getting a lot of these businesses that otherwise wouldn't be in the big box department store. But, and if you would think about it, these companies are going to be probably Target is going to be their largest customer at this point. And then it's an abrupt stop. So the protests began and Al Sharpton and Jamal Bryant got involved as far as pushing it. Jamal Bryant is credited with starting it. I'm not sure if he started it. When he gets involved in things, just who, me being who I am, I got a lot of questions because of the kind of character he is. However, he seemed to be a part of it, at least in the beginning, if he didn't start it. And he did push it, so I will give him credit for that. And the stock has been sliding pretty significantly since the boycott started in February. However, the stock has been sliding since 2021. Now, just some background on Target. Target is a department store that did not fare well after the pandemic. So they've had a lot of inventory issues, a lot of theft in a lot of stores that's been hurting their profits. They've locked a lot of the everyday products up. If you go to too many Targets, you have to press a button and wait for an attendant to employee to show up with the key to get some detergent out of the shelves. So some customers like this, some hate it. So This has been impacting a lot of their stores. So Target is in a flux right now. They're trying to figure out their identity because they're getting hammered by Walmart, Costco, and Amazon in the retail space. So they're already losing ground, and they've been losing that ground since about 2021. So for those that think that Target stock is sliding because of the boycott, not quite. It was already sliding down a lot. Their revenues are coming down over the past few years. So this boycott added fuel to the fire, but the fire was already present. So who's to blame for this current position that Target is in? So I think there's both sides to blame, honestly. I think you got some of these minority businesses to blame, the Black community to blame, and also Target. So I like to have a balanced view. I know some of the things that I'm going to say is going to make some of you happy. Some of the things that I'm going to say is going to probably piss you off. But I mean, I believe in being honest and transparent and try to approach things from a balanced point of view. So let's talk about Target. So like I said before, a lot of these DEI initiatives were knee-jerk reactions to the George Floyd protest. I don't believe a lot of these companies that started these DEI initiatives were serious about it. Number one, you have these ad hoc or makeshift DEI departments that you created. You created a position, you put this position within the HR department. Many of the people who were leading these DEI programs were not minorities. Many of these were white males or white females who probably didn't have the largest or the biggest, let's say, education or experience when it comes to some of these specific initiatives. So I don't believe there was a real plan put in place to carry out a lot of these initiatives. They believe they were doing the right thing, but it was a knee-jerk reaction. One company that I respect is Ben & Jerry's. Ben & Jerry's, they will take about a year before they open their mouth about a social initiative. And if you know anything about this company, when it comes to civil rights, when it comes to minorities, when it comes to LGBTQ, they pretty much never miss the mark because they take time to sit with a lot of these activist groups. They engage with them. They get their feedback. They find out what these communities are going through. They hear their voice. They understand. And when they issue a statement or they come out with a flavor in support of these initiatives, they run it by these groups first. They're humble enough to say, hey, we want to learn your issues. We want to know your problems. And if we do something, we want to make sure we're not missing the mark. We want to make sure that we get your approval with whatever we do. And then they move forward. So they have like a years long process before they do anything. A lot of these companies with these DEI initiatives, like I said, knee jerk reaction. And then they put some money out to try to make people happy or satisfied that they're doing something. And I believe by the end of 2023, if I'm not mistaken, about 40 to 50% of a lot of these DEI positions that were created after the George Floyd protests uproar, a lot of those were already eliminated by the end of 2023. So Target cutting the DEI program is a trend that was already happening before Trump came about and spoke on it. And before the Project 2020, a lot of these programs were already starting to cut and fall to the wayside. Like I said, these companies had these knee-jerk reactions without a real plan or a real structure or infrastructure to keep it going. So this is not the most surprising result, in my opinion. So moving on. So this was a knee-jerk reaction, I believe. The lack of planning and poor sourcing. So there was a video that I saw, and a young man said he was talking to a colleague of his, and this colleague was an executive at Target. The colleague said, hey, we were losing money with these DEI initiatives. A lot of the products that they were sourcing were Black targeted products. So if you get a product for Target, a big box retailer that serves everybody, and you have products that serve specifically Black people, you have some problems. Number one, only a small percentage of your customers, a smaller percentage of your traffic is going to be interested in this product. Number two, Black people don't necessarily support Black-owned businesses to the level that was needed for this to be successful. a lot of the black targeted products. For instance, there was one that I saw. It was a card game or a kid's card game for black kids specifically. So, of course, the Hispanic, the Jewish, the white, the Asian, they're not going to go in there and touch that product. And then you have black people who are going to go in and see that and not touch that product as well. So who are you selling to? Like, that's going to be it create an issue because you're niched down so much and you're in a space where it's not really a niche space. Target is they sell pretty much everything in that store. So is it a good product mix? I think that's Target to blame first and foremost. This is your business. You need to source the right products to serve. Second, if you have these products that are targeted to a specific group of people, product placement in these stores are important. Where are you going to place these products? You're not going to have these big displays in the middle of the aisles for everybody to see and walk by with only a smaller percentage of your customers that would be interested. You'll see the big brands in these aisles. Who has the money to support some of these small businesses? They don't have the bankroll to support these large displays in these stores to get the most eyes on them. So it creates a problem. You can only stack it away in a shelf somewhere in the aisle that that's not going to be seen by everyone because it's not a product for everyone. So how do you maximize the product placement for these specific types of products? So I think that is, again, that's going to be on Target. The product placement, the planning, and also how they announced it. I can see if they made changes to the DEI program. I can see if they decided to roll it back, but they just flat out cut it. So it puts a lot of people in bad position. So they are to blame for a lot of the uproar that they are receiving. Also, I think when on the other side, when it comes to the black community, again, we don't have the strongest history since desegregation of supporting the black businesses the way we say we want to or we say we do. So that's one thing that we as a community, we have to be clear on that. We have to improve that. Another thing that I'm not the biggest fan of boycotts. I believe there are good and there's a place for the protests and a place for the boycotts. But my personal opinion, I think ownership and equity is the way to go, the way to enact real change along with boycotts. I believe when it comes to social justice and civil rights and economic equality, I see it as a complicated jigsaw puzzle and every piece is needed. So boycotts are needed. I'm not the biggest fan of them, but I understand where they fit in the complicated puzzle that we call justice. However, one thing I did not like when I saw Jamal Bryant and I saw Al Sharpton, he was meeting with Target. I saw that press release where he met with them. One thing I don't like about some of these activists, I don't really see it as a full plan to the end. We're going to boycott. Okay. For what? Because they took away DEI. Okay. So if we boycott and they put it back in place, what's the plan then? Are we buying shares of the company so we have equity ownership and we can impact the vote, the shareholder vote of this business? Haven't heard anything about that from these leaders. Or do we have an initiative to go into these stores and clear the shelves of all these black targeted products and these black business owners if they got a chance to get back on these Target shelves? Are we going to support them to the fullest? Haven't heard anything about that when it comes to the boycott. It's just, hey, we're not going to buy. We're going to stand strong. We're not going to support. And that's it. And I don't believe that's enough. I think that's kind of misleading people to make noise, have outrage, but with no real plan. At the end of this, what do we want? They put the program. What are we going to do? Personally, I think we need to have an initiative where, okay, if they're going to put the program back in place, buy shares of this company or buy shares of the businesses that never cut their DEI program. We don't hear about that. We're just anti-Target, anti-Target, anti-Target. Anger and outrage, which leads to no real resolution. In my personal opinion, this is why I don't really appreciate the quote-unquote leadership around this boycott. What is the end goal? What are we going to do with this? What are we, how do we transition from the boycott in the future with no plan at all? So that's kind of where my issues lie with this boycott for the most part. Yeah, I'm just kind of tired of the sitting and waiting. We just boycott and we're sitting and waiting. When we're boycotting, it's like we're saying, hey, we're Black people and we need you to do this for us. When I believe there's so much more that we can do for ourselves, but boycotting just kind of makes people, in my opinion, sit and look at something, somebody else, look at their actions and wait for them to do something. Well, we could be doing something else. We could be doing our own things. We could be building our own businesses and supporting our own businesses and building our own communities versus sitting and waiting for Target to do something for us. It seems more of a helpless. Now, I understand Montgomery Bus boycott. Hey, you had to hold the line. You had to walk. Black people needed it. It was a different time then. But I think in this time, once we boycott or while we're boycotting, what are we doing in the meantime? And it doesn't really seem like there's much organization around that or discussion around that. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to discuss this. What are we going to do? Personally, we need a plan of equity. We need a plan of stronger businesses. And I believe that's really the only true answer. Create opportunities for us, for ourselves, so we never have to worry about somebody cutting opportunities through DEI. Let's just do it ourselves. And not to mention, we are what, third or fourth or fifth on the list, I think. I think Black people are fourth or fifth on the list when it comes to the benefactors of DEI. So it's not, I don't really see what is the end goal. If they put it in place, is it truly going to benefit us? I'm not sure. So far, it hasn't. So that's just my opinion on that. So I think there's a few lessons here, especially for Black businesses. You have to be careful when you are targeting mainly Black people with your business. I saw this the other day, not too long. And because it's a Black business, I'm going to support it. It was some type of beer, but it looked like it was some type of African kente cloth print on the can. And it's like, there's so many people who are going to see that and not be interested. Black people included, sadly. But the truth is, that's going to turn a lot of people off. But why? I understand marketing, because if I have two different product lines, my marketing budget might be double. So I understand it, but we got to be careful. I would suggest if you want to have a product that is Black targeted, Black focused, why not have two separate lines? If possible, have a product line or a game for Black kids and have a general game for anybody. Like, don't cut off your customer base just because you can only see our community or you can't see past a Black community and what it needs. I just think that it might be a smart idea to have a broader audience, especially when you're starting off as for your product, starting off having a broader base. And then maybe once you're profitable, create the Black targeted one or create one that's specific for a community and move that way versus just starting off with a Black targeted or specific community target product. I believe there's a space for those, but you have to be very, very careful when you're doing that. Another lesson, keep engagement with your customers. One thing that we have, and I'm a CPA, I'm a mid-level executive for a business. One thing that we discuss and we always keep an eye out, even when I was auditing businesses, the concentration. Do you have a revenue concentration? We looked at concentrations as any business that's over 10% of your revenues or any customer that provides over 10% of your revenues or any group of customers that provide 10% or more of your revenues. That's a concentration risk. If one customer cuts you off or makes a decision or shuts down, how much of your revenues are at risk? So when you have a business and you break into a big box retailer, that's a potential concentration risk because they're providing so much of your revenues. You should not get lazy and just depend on that. You have to continue to engage with your customer base in case something happens. So you want to engage with your customer base to send them to the stores to buy, sell directly to them, never shop direct to customer. With a Shopify account, it's very easy. to stay engaged and continue to sell direct to your customer. Never give up on that. There's companies that sell on Amazon and they will send a connection card. It's really a connection card. It's a card for you to register for the warranty of their product. They just want your email so they can contact you, so they can continue to engage with their customer base. It's one of the smartest moves that a company selling on Amazon can do. Don't rely on Amazon. If you sell something, create some type of opportunity to engage directly with your customers, because Amazon is not sharing that information with you. They see it as their customer, but you have to see it as that is your customer. So that is the main lessons. Engage with your customers. Don't rely on one distributor. Be careful when it comes to concentration risk. If you have a concentration risk, you can lose your business off of one person's decision or off of another person's failure. So you always have to be careful. And be careful with your target audience. I'm not going to say don't target the black community or a specific community with your company. I'm not going to say that, because I know that may be just your idea or your passion, and I get it. However, be careful with it. So those are my thoughts with Target. That's the end of the podcast. I appreciate you joining me. I plan on releasing these once a week on different various topics when it comes to finance and business and investing. So stay tuned. Thank you for joining me, and I hope to see you in the next video.